Chapter 23. Sergeant Colby was waiting for Austin at the nurse's station of the Georgetown University Hospital emergency room. The police officer was engrossed in conversation with a man wearing a doctor's green frock coat. Colby noticed Austin's purposeful approach and guessed he was the man who had peppered him with questions over the phone. "Mr. Austin?"
"Thanks for calling me, Sergeant. How is Miss McCarty doing?"
"Pretty well, considering. Our car was patrolling a war zone of a neighborhood and found her in her car slumped over the steering wheel."
"Anyone know what happened?"
"She didn't make much sense when she regained consciousness," the police officer said with a shake of his head. "I was just talking to Dr. Sid here about the physical evidence."
He deferred to the other man, whose name was Dr. Siddhartha Sid Chowdhury. Dr. Sid was a resident anesthesiologist who had been called in for consultation.
"It appears from your friend's blood test that she was given a dose of sodium thiopental, either nasally or through the skin. It would have knocked her out within seconds."
"We don't think robbery was the motive," Colby said. "Her wallet had money in it, along with her ID and your phone number. We'll have the lab people go over her car. To be honest, that's not going to happen right away. Murders get priority, and there's a waiting line at the morgue."
"I'd like to see her," Austin said.
The doctor nodded.
"She's wide awake now. She'll feel fine as the stuff leaves her bloodstream. It's a bit like having one martini too many. A slight hangover, dizziness, and possible nausea. She can leave as soon as she feels able to walk, as long as she's got help. No driving for a while. Third door on the right."
Austin thanked the two men and started down the corridor. "I wouldn't get too close," the policeman warned. "She's nail-spitting mad." Karina was sitting up on the edge of the bed, trying to put a shoe on her foot. She was having a hard time with her hand-eye coordination. She seemed angrier at her foot than anyone in particular. Austin stood in the doorway. "Need a hand?" The deep frown on Karina's face vanished. She broke into a wide smile and grunted in triumph as she pulled the shoe on. She tried to stand, but her legs wobbled. She was sinking to the floor when Austin stepped into the room. He picked her up and deposited her on the bed.
"Grazie," she said. "I feel like I drank too much wine."
"The doctor said the drug should wear off soon."
"Drug? What's he talking about? I didn't take any drug."
"He knows that. You were knocked out with an anesthetic. Either you breathed it in or it was injected through the skin. Can you tell me what happened?" A look of fear came to her eyes.
"I saw the hijacker from the container ship.
The big man with the face like an evil baby."
"You'd better start at the beginning," Austin said.
"Good idea. Help me sit up."
Austin reached around Karina's waist, gently pulled her to an upright position, and poured her a glass of water. She sat on the edge of the bed and told her story between sips.
"The movers came for the navigator. A man named Ridley was in charge. I followed the truck in my car. The truck turned into a terrible neighborhood. Stopped. I remember the old pizza sign. The rear door opened. I saw the hijacker in the rearview mirror."
Austin flashed on the oversized footprint in the riverbank near his house. "Go on."
"I heard a hiss. Next thing I know, I'm waking up in this place."
A thought occurred to her.
"They took the statue. I have to tell the police."
She stood and leaned against the bed.
"Still a little dizzy."
Austin kissed her on the forehead. "I'll talk to the police officer while you rest." Colby was finishing a phone call when Austin approached and said, "Did she tell you about the truck and a missing statue?"
"Yeah. I thought she was delirious. Just checked into the station.
A truck matching the description she gave went off the highway and caught fire. They found four bodies burned beyond recognition. Any sign of a bronze statue? No. The fire was pretty hot. Probably would have melted your statue. Austin thanked Colby and went back to fill Karina in. He didn't tell her about the bodies in the burned-out truck. She glanced at the wall clock.
I've got to get out of this place. I'm going to miss my appointment with John Benson, the National Geographic photographer I told you about.
When are you supposed to see him?
About an hour.
She gave Austin an address.
Can we make it?
If we leave now. Depends on how you feel.
I feel fine.
She stood and managed a couple of steps before she wobbled.
I wouldn't mind a helping hand, though.
They hooked arms and shuffled down the hall. Colby had left a note at the nurse's station to call him when Karina was ready for an interview. By the time she had signed the papers checking her out, Karina seemed much stronger. The nurse insisted that she ride down to the lobby in a wheelchair. When Karina walked out the front door, she was only weaving slightly. On the drive to Virginia, Karina tried calling the photographer. No one answered the telephone. She assumed Benson had simply stepped out and would be home at the appointed time. Karina recovered rapidly thanks to the fresh country air blowing through the car window. She put in a call to Baltazar to tell him about the theft. She got an automated reply and left a message.
You don't suppose Saxon had anything to do with it, do you?
She said after a moment's reflection. Saxon doesn't seem the type. Maybe he can help. We could use the photos he took of the Navigator to publicize its loss. Karina dug into her pocketbook and found the card Saxon had given her at the Iraqi embassy reception. She called the number written on the back of the card and got the Willard Hotel. The desk clerk said Mr. Saxon had checked out. Karina relayed the information to Austin with a self-satisfied smile. 10 minutes later, Austin turned off the main road and drove down a long dirt driveway to a low-slung, clabbered farmhouse. They pulled up next to a dust-covered pickup truck and went onto the front porch. No one answered repeated knocks on the door. They checked the barn and then came back to the porch. Austin tried the door. It was unlocked. He pushed it open. Karina stuck her head in and called out, "Mr. Benson." A low moan came from inside the house. Austin stepped inside and followed a hallway to the cozy living room where he borrowed a fireplace poker. Walking quietly, they made their way to the end of the hallway. A man lay face up on the floor of a large studio. Karina knelt by the man's side. The blood had stopped oozing from a head wound that was surrounded by angry blue-black skin. The studio looked as if it had been hit by a monsoon. Filing cabinet drawers were pulled open. Photos were scattered all over the floor. The computer screen had been smashed. Only the National Geographic covers hanging from the walls were undamaged. Austin called 911 and inspected the other rooms. The rest of the house was deserted. When Austin returned to the studio, Benson was sitting up against the wall. Karina was holding a towel full of ice cubes gingerly against his head. She had wiped the spittle off his lips. His eyes were open, and he was apparently alert. Benson was a burly, middle-aged man whose skin had been turned to leather by the sun in the exotic places he had worked. His long gray hair was tied back in a ponytail. He wore jeans, a t-shirt, and a film cartridge vest that was an anachronism in an age of digital photography. Austin knelt by his side. "How are you feeling?"
"Like crap," Benson said. "How do I look?"
"Like crap," Austin said. Benson managed a weak smile.
"Bastards.
They were waiting when I came back from my walk to meet with the lady from the UN.
Is that you?"
"I'm Karina McCarty. I'm an investigator with UNESCO.
Mr. Austin here is with the National Underwater and Marine Agency. The light of recognition sparkled in Benson's gray eyes. Did stories on both your outfits years ago. Tell us what happened after you returned from your walk, Austin said.
Saw a car out front. Black SUV. Virginia license plates. I always leave the door unlocked. They were inside going through my stuff.
He grimaced.
In case I pass out again, tell the cops there were four of them. All masked, all with guns. One was a real big guy. Think he was the leader.
Austin and Karina exchanged glances.
Did he say anything?
Benson nodded.
He wanted all my negatives. I told him to go to hell. He laid the barrel of his gun across my head.
Guess I should be grateful he didn't shoot me.
Only dazed. Played dead. Saw him and his pals go through my negative cabinets. Dumped all my stuff into plastic trash bags.
They get my computer? Laptop?
Austin glanced around. Looks like they cleared the place out.
They figured I had done backup. Every picture I ever took was on disk. 25 years worth.
Benson chuckled.
Jerks. So busy beating up on me they didn't know I had backed up the backup.
What the hell did they want?
We think they were after photos you took of an archaeological dig in Syria, Karina said.
He furrowed his brow.
I remember. Photographer remembers every shot he ever made. 1972. Cover story.
Hotter than hell out there.
The backup disc.
Can we borrow it? Austin said.
Help catch those bastards?
Maybe. Austin lifted his shirt to show the bandage on his ribs. You're not the only one with a score to settle.
Benson's eyes widened.
Guess they really didn't like you.
He grinned.
Check my barn. Third stall on the right. Steel door under the hay. Keys hanging in the kitchen labeled back door.
Karina said, there was a big statue excavated in Syria. It was called the Navigator.
Sure. Looked like a cigar store Indian with a pointy hat. Don't know what happened to it.
His eyes rolled as if he were about to pass out, but Benson pulled himself together.
Check out the living room mantel.
Austin found the key to the disk storage safe in the kitchen and went into the living room. The fireplace mantel was crowded with hunks of rock and figurines Benson must have collected on his travels. One figure caught Austin's attention. He picked up a scale model of the Navigator about 4 inches high. Tires crunched in the driveway. An ambulance was pulling in with its red and blue lights flashing. Austin slid the figurine into his pocket and went to welcome the EMTs. There were two emergency medical technicians, a young man and a woman. Austin led them to the studio. The female EMT glanced around at the chaos.
What happened?
Karina looked up from her charge.
He was attacked and his studio vandalized.
While the EMT examined Benson, her colleague put a call in to the police. After checking Benson's vitals and applying a compress, they eased the photographer onto a stretcher and loaded him into the ambulance. They said Benson would be sore for a while, but his excellent physical condition should pull him through. Austin told the EMTs that he and Karina would wait to talk to the police. As soon as the ambulance drove off, they went out to the barn. They swept aside the hay in the third stall to reveal a metal trap door, which Austin unlocked and opened. A short set of stairs led down to a temperature-controlled room about the size of a walk-in closet. The walls were lined with drawers labeled according to year. Austin found the disk inscribed, Hittite Dig, 1972, Syria. Austin slipped the disk into his pocket. He and Karina walked back to the house. Minutes later, the police car came down the driveway. The lanky man in uniform who exited the driver's side was straight out of Mayberry, USA. He approached them with a slow, shambling walk and introduced himself as Chief Becker. He jotted their names down in a notebook.
EMT said Mr. Benson was attacked.
That's what he told us, Karina said. He returned from a walk and found four men in his house. He tried to stop them from stealing his photos and was beaten with a gun.
The chief shook his head.
I knew he was a big photographer with the Geographic, but I'd never guessed the photos were worth a B&E in the daytime.
He paused for a moment, trying to figure out where the exotic woman and her brawny companion fit into the picture.
Mind saying what your business with Benson was?
Austin said, I'm with Numa. Miss McCarty works for the UN, investigating stolen antiquities. Mr. Benson took some photos years ago of a missing artifact, and we thought he might be able to help in its recovery.
Think that had anything to do with him getting beat up?
The chief was shrewder than he looked. He was watching their reaction closely. Austin told him the truth.
I don't know.
The chief seemed satisfied with the explanation.
Care to show me where you found Mr. Benson?
Austin and Karina led the way into the house. The chief let out a low whistle when he saw the studio mess.
You touch anything? He said.
No, Austin said. Would it have made a difference?
The chief chuckled.
I'll get the crime scene folks to come out.
He took their personal information down in his notebook and said they might be called later for more questioning. As Austin turned the car onto the road, Karina said,
You weren't exactly truthful with the chief.
It might have complicated things if I went into the ship hijacking and the theft of the statue. And the fact that the common denominator is the navigator.
Karina slumped down in her seat and closed her eyes.
I feel responsible for all this somehow.
Don't beat yourself up. The only people at fault are the thugs who've been exhibiting antisocial behavior. Who besides us knew about the Benson photos?
The only ones I've told were you and Mr. Baltazar.
You don't think... Another common denominator.
Karina slumped down into her seat and stared straight ahead. After a few minutes spent deep in thought, she seemed to rally.
All right. Where do we go from here?
Austin pulled the disc out of his pocket and handed it over.
We're going on an archaeological dig.